Lord Jesus Christ for his wonderful presence that we feel in this place. You can feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I came to worship with you this morning. I came to praise the Lord with you this morning. And when the Holy Ghost is moving, when Jesus is present in a situation like this, in a house like this, anything can happen. I'm so glad to be here this morning. Such an honor and a privilege to be at a day. Before you're seated today, I want you to turn with me to the book of Judges. If you have your Bibles with you, chapter 1, verse number 1 to 4. I'm glad that my wife is with me today and accompanied me to cold Canberra, sunny Canberra, and also my grandson with us this morning. If you got the text, say amen.
Amen.
Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew them of Bezek 10,000 men. Let's bow heads for a moment. Lord, thank you for this time that we have in your presence this morning. We pray that, oh God, that you would minister to our hearts today, that you would touch our lives, and in essence, oh God, that they might come change from within us. We thank you, God, for your presence and anointing that's in this place, that you would anoint our ears with ear salve, that we might hear the word of God and receive it, that we, oh God, might change. We love you, Jesus, and we worship you this morning. We honor you at this hour, for there is nobody like you, Jesus. Bless us now, God, as we continue in this service today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. While we're doing that, let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There are battles to fight, and there are victories to be won. For each and every one of us face battles in diverse areas of life. And so to the church as a corporate body, together as we as pastors and saints of God, we face battles, challenges that are testing, that are trying, in an effort to lift the church and the people to higher levels in Christ. Can I tell you that though we go through these testing battles, challenges, and trials, we do have the means by which we can overcome, the means by which we can receive the victories that really belong to us. This manner by which we will be victorious is summed up in our text this morning. And that is in the question that Israel as a nation asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites? And notice, he said, first. And the Lord quickly responded with these words and said, Judah shall go up. And likewise, we, the church, we need to send up our praises first. Just as Judah was allowed by the Lord Jesus Christ or by God to go up first, so the church, in order to overcome, in order to win battles, we need to send up our praises first. Victory will come when we send our praises up first, when we make praise, prayer, praise, and worship our priority. This manner by which we will be victorious is evident at the conquest of Jericho by the Israelites. A songwriter once wrote a song and penned these words and said, "You don't have to wait until the battle is over to shout. You can shout the victory now. You don't have to wait until you feel like that you've won a battle or that you've overcome before you can praise Him. You can praise Him now." Amen. We do not do it the way that the world does it. We do it the way that the Bible tells us to do it. And what the Bible teaches us is this, is that we must, indeed, if we desire to see victories in our lives, in various battles in our lives and warfares in our lives, we must learn to prioritize our praise. We must learn to put Jesus first in worship and in praise. It is John in his epistle that echoes this selfsame truth when he said, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So in essence, faith is the victory in our battles, and faith is expressed in our prayer, faith is expressed in our praise, faith is expressed in our worship. So then it follows that the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours. I don't think that's too hard. I don't think that's a hard thing to praise God. I think that when we come into the house of the Lord, each time that we come into church and we gather together like this, as saints of God, as people that are born again of the water and of the Spirit, we need to be ready. We need to be revved up. We need to be prayed up. We need to come with joy in our hearts to come and to praise Him. Not try to come into the house of the Lord and try to attain it while you are here. Praise God, we are here today to worship Him. We are here today to create an atmosphere of worship and praise for Him. And there are reasons that we praise the Lord. There are reasons that we worship Him. Reasons that we will begin to talk about or mention a little later on this morning. But we need to come with a heart full of joy and a heart full of praise in our hearts. We must not be afraid. We must not somehow be laid back in our praise and in our worship. We must become people of worship, people of praise, boisterous people, people that will make a lot of noise. We are not an orthodox people. We are not a people that are programmed, amen, by televisions and programmed by computers. But we are a people of God who are made in the image of God, who are made in the likeness of God, who are made free will mortal agents to come into His presence with the choice that I am coming into the house of God. I'm going to meet with my brothers and my sisters in the house of God, and I am coming to worship Him together with them. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to lift Him up because there's a reason for it. There's a reason, amen, and our reasons for it must not be self. It must not be self-motivated.
created. But the Bible says that we ought not to look on the things of ourselves only, but we ought to look on the things of others. It's about other people that has come into the house of God, people that don't know Jesus, people that don't have the gospel that we have, people that don't have the kind of salvation that we have today. But when we come into the house of the Lord, praise God, we got to come in with joy. We got to come in with praise in our hearts. Hallelujah. We got to praise Him like we've never praised Him before. We've got to praise Him, ladies and gentlemen. I said we've got to praise Him like Jesus was coming right after the service, or Jesus was coming right in the midst of the service. And let me tell you, that's not impossible for Jesus to return while we're in the midst of our worship. Oh, what a wonderful time that will be, worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and glorifying Him. And then you hear the trumpet of the Lord sound. Amen. And you, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive in the main worshiping God in the house of the Lord will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. What a wonderful experience that will be. Praise God. And I would to God today that every child of the Lord in this house, praise God, would endeavor to worship Him, would endeavor to praise Him. Amen. With every faculty of their being, with every ounce of spirit that they have, to dispense of themselves in praise and in worship. Somebody give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Hallelujah. The battle we fight as believers, as disciples, they vary a great deal. They come in the form of trials, varying from some tragedies, tragic events, and so forth. There are those that also come via offenses that inflict pain. We've got to be realistic about these things. Whether they be purposely done or not, these are battles we fight as believers. But then there are those we fight on behalf of others who cannot fight for themselves, whether they be family, whether they be friends, or whether they be acquaintances. There are battles that we fight, but yet there are victories to be won. My pastor always used to teach us many years ago when I came to the Lord. He says, as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, you're going to face many battles in your life. And you're going to lose some. That's inevitable. But you're also going to win some. But I want to tell you today that even though we lose some, we're still winners. Because we are going to win the war. Well, how do you know that? How can you predict that we're going to win this war? Because I read the back of the book. And I win. John was taken of the Lord, or carried away by the Lord in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And one of the things that the Lord showed him was the church. It was the bride of Christ. He said, come and see the bride. And you know what? John saw me. They talked about a complete bride. In the mind of God, the church is complete. Yet there are those in this building that still need to be saved, that still need to be born again. You can be a part of what John saw when he was on the Isle of Patmos, as he was carried away of the Lord in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The bride of Christ is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, ladies and gentlemen, to say to you that no matter how many battles we might fail in, that we might lose, but we're going to win the war. Paul said, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. In the days of Judges, right after Joshua died, God uses different people at different times which were called to judge Israel. And the nation of Israel had no leaders other than those whom God had chosen to rid them of their enemies. Before the first encounter with their enemies, Israel inquired of the Lord, who shall go up for us
against the Canaanites first to fight against them. And the Lord quickly responded and said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered him or them into your hand. And of the sons of Israel was a man named Judah, of whom we trace the lineage down through to David, the king of Israel, through to Jesus, our Savior. And incidentally, Judah means celebrate. And Judah means praise, to celebrate and to praise. Much of the time in our humanness, we attack our problems by and through our own means. It is always, almost seems to be the first method of our attack in this warfare, in these battles. And in the end, we always seem to come out lost. We lose. The reason for the lack of success or victory is that we haven't as yet prioritized our method of attack. We always seem to think that we can overcome the enemy by our own intellect. We always seem to think that we can overcome the enemy by our own knowledge and by our own way of thinking and our own way of doing things. We need to learn God's way, the way of Jesus, and that is to celebrate our victories in Jesus before we even attack the problems and the trials that we have. And this is done in our prayer. This is done in our praise. This is done in our celebration to the glory of God. Praise went up first. Praise preceded that offense on the enemy. And this is the reason why the Lord said to Judah, he said, I have delivered them into your hand. Isn't it awesome to know that before you even pick up a weapon, you won the war? Hallelujah. But it doesn't mean we are not going to fight. We're going to have to fight. But we're going to win. We're going to win, ladies and gentlemen. But sometimes, especially in smaller congregations and churches, we begin to feel like that there are too few among us to obtain the victory that God wants to give us. But God only wants a few. In Judges 7:2-7, the Bible says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that leapt I will save, and you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. Let me quickly say to you today that in essence today, and pardon for the expression, that God really doesn't need our help for victory. Yet God requires us to be prudent before the miracle. Sometimes, even in working a miracle, God will have natural means used. For example, to Naaman, he said, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River before your leprosy would be taken away from you or you would be healed. He said to Israel, when they crossed over the Jordan River, he told them to walk around Jericho 6 times in 6 days and 7 times on the 7th day, and to shout on the 7th time as they compassed the city about. To the blind man, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. To the 10 lepers, Jesus said, go show yourselves to the high priest and offer up a sacrifice as Moses commanded in the law. To the people he taught, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your hands. And to us yet a day in this assembly, in this church, Jesus is saying, pray and praise and worship if we desire miracles. And I believe this morning that there are miracles in this place. If you're here this morning and you desire a miracle in your life, whether it be a miracle of deliverance, whether it be a miracle of healing, whether it be a miracle of salvation, it is in this place today. Miracles are resident in this place this morning, and we could walk out of this room when the service is over today. We can walk out of this place having received the miracle, amen, that God wants to give you this morning, amen. And if I, praise God, if I was you today, I would get on the Lord's side and say, God, I need a miracle. I can guarantee you with this many people in church this morning, there's bound to be somebody in this place that wants a miracle. There is bound to be people in this place that needs divine healing in their bodies. There is bound to be people in this place that are seeking divine deliverance that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have to leave this room today without walking away with the miracle that God wants to give you. He's not going to charge you one dime, amen, to get your miracle. It is free of charge. All he's saying to the church this morning, if you will praise me, if you will worship me, if you will pray, if you will seek my face, amen, miracles are resident in this place. It will come alive in this room this morning. If somebody can give him praise, if somebody can give him worship, if somebody could not become tired and weary, as Paul said to the Galatian church, be not weary in well-doing, because you will reap if you faint not. And sometimes we get a little bit tired of praise. We get a little bit tired of worship. We just sing the songs, so to speak, in an orthodox fashion, because I got to get to the next song. But Jesus is not worried about the next song. He's worried about praising him. He's worried about worshiping him. He's concerned that he wants to do stuff in the church, but he can't do stuff in the church, amen, because we don't persist in our praise and in our worship. And somebody said, praise him. Come on, we can do better than that. I know it's cold, but can you feel the burning sensation under your seat? Hallelujah. We can have a miracle today. Today, prayer and praise and worship are practical. It's what we got to do. It's what we got to do if we're going to. You said, Lord, let us experience your overwhelming presence. How are you going to do that? I only know one way to do that. I can't stand here today and keep on singing that song and say, let us experience your overwhelming presence when I'm not praising him. I've got to take some time to worship him, to praise him, to feel his presence, to begin to feel the overwhelming power of his presence in this place. And believe me, the Holy Ghost is here today. Jesus is in this house. In Judges 7 and 16, and the Bible says, and he divided 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and with lamps and within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be examples of prayer and praise. Examples of prayer, praise, and worship. In our opening text, the Lord gave the tribe of Judah. He gave him leave to go up first. Yet, Judah did not go alone. I believe that God left the door open because Judah invited his brother Simeon to come up with him into his lot. And incidentally, his name, Simeon, means hearing us, or as Leah said, the Lord has heard my affliction. This was a door of invitation toward his brother. It is all right to praise and worship God and the Lord alone as an individual, but how much better is it when we can worship God together with one voice, with one mind, and with one accord? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Yeah, it is. It is here, ladies and gentlemen, where affliction and celebration meet, where they kiss one another. David said these words in Psalm 34 and verse 1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I guarantee you this morning that there are people in this room today that came into church this morning that didn't really feel like praising the Lord. David felt that way many times before during the course of his issues and his problems and his trials as he ran from King Saul, almost being nomadic, as he ran, and he cried unto the Lord. But in his psalm, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't really matter, ladies and gentlemen, how we feel when we come into the house of the Lord. But one thing we do have to realize, that I'm in the presence of God right now, that I'm in the house of the Lord right now, and regardless of how I feel, it's just my feeling. Regardless of how I feel, I'm going to bless the Lord. And I got to talk to myself. I got to say to myself, I'm going to bless the Lord. It was him that said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's inside of me, bless his holy name. It's when he was feeling down. It's when he was feeling discouraged. When he was feeling kind of afflicted and perhaps tormented for some part, when he said, I will bless the Lord throughout all of these affliction, all of this pain and all of this trial and all of this opposition and all of this rejection. I'm going to bless the Lord. And so the Bible says he blessed the Lord. Let me tell you today, amen, it's about time that when we feel, praise God, when we feel down, when we feel discouraged and we come into the house of the Lord, we got to say to ourselves, I'm going to bless the Lord regardless. I've come into the presence of the Lord and I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to worship him. And I know it might take a little bit of effort for me to begin to open up my mouth and say to myself and of course myself to bless the Lord. Amen. Even though I might say, I will bless the Lord. All it doesn't really matter. You just got to keep on trying. You got to keep on trying. You got to keep on singing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may not feel nothing in the house of the Lord. You may not feel the presence of God like other people are feeling it, but it doesn't matter for the moment. What you got to do is you got to bless the Lord even when you're feeling low and even when you're feeling kind of empty. But I want to tell you today, but as you keep on doing it, suddenly something begins to stir from deep down with inside of you. As it were, Jesus said, out of your belly shall begin to flow rivers of living water. You can feel the stirring beginning to happen. Amen. In your body, you can feel, amen, the power of the presence of the Lord and the Holy Ghost begin stirring up in you. And suddenly you explode into praise and the Holy Ghost anoints you and you feel the unction of his spirit and you begin to worship the Lord. How did that eventuate? Because you did as David said we ought to do. I will bless the Lord at all times and have my praise continually in my mouth. Hallelujah. But it doesn't stop there. And that's when Judah starts to go up. But he went on to say in verse number 3 in the same psalm, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
The onus is on me to worship him first. Secondly, I must encourage those alongside me to worship him. Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And his train filled the temple. And the Bible says, above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With twain he did cover his face, and twain he did cover his feet, and twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Even the angels accosted one another. Even the angels encouraged one another. Praise God. And in my opinion, as I've read in the scriptures, even though it was a vision of Isaiah, the Bible says when he saw this vision, amen, of the glory of the Lord, he saw a pair of angels' wings covering their eyes, covering their face. And it caused my attention to the fact that did the angels really see God? Hallelujah, because their eyes were covered over, and yet they looked to one another and said, won't you worship God with me? Won't you glorify the Lord with me? Amen. That the angels give us a lead today, amen, to say to us, let us help one another. Let us encourage one another to praise him and to worship him and to glorify him perpetually. Ladies and gentlemen, amen, the onus is upon the church. The onus is upon every individual in this house of God. If you see your neighbor sitting behind you or in front of you and on the side of you looking a little downtrodden and looking a little bit weary, encourage him to praise him. Encourage him to praise Jesus. Encourage him to worship the Lord. Amen. And let's see the church, amen, break out into ecstatic praise and worship and glorify God. Hallelujah. And we can worship God together because the Bible said, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So praise and worship and goes up first, but it doesn't go up alone. I don't want individual in a situation like this, but it goes up together. When we go through afflictions and we go through trials, when we have problems in our lives, what is our attitude toward them? In the 137th Psalm, the Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they wasted us, oppressed us, requiring us of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Israel, in the course of their Babylonian captivity, were going through their own struggles. Their only resort at this time, they thought, was to resort to succumbing to the enemy oppression. They responded by saying, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And sometimes we find ourselves in a strange land of trial, in a strange land of affliction. As Peter said in his epistle, 1 Peter 4 and 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. It seems a strange thing for some, but we need to learn through our trials of affliction. We need to learn to adopt a right
attitude towards those things. You will be persecuted for righteousness, which can be trying for us. However, it is really not the trial that is the problem, but it's how we respond to that trial. What is our attitude toward the trial? And our attitude can result in making that trial problematic. It's your attitude. 16 and 25 of Acts, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The correct attitude towards your trial will not only save you, but it will also save them that are imprisoned around you. But when you come into the house of the Lord, amen, with the problem, with the trial, we must adopt a correct attitude towards these things. And the attitude that we must have is an attitude of prayer, is an attitude of praise, not an attitude of blaming, amen, and playing the blame game, but an attitude of praise and an attitude of prayer and an attitude of worship when we come into the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, how long that Paul and Silas were imprisoned, how long that they were laying in that filth, in that mess, in that muck, in that mire, in the dungeon, amen, of affliction. Amen. It could have been days. It could have been weeks. I don't know. The Bible never told me so. But one thing I do know, when I do read the Bible in the book of Acts, I find them laying down or sitting down or standing up in that dungeon. And the thing that they were doing is the Bible says that they were praying and singing praises unto God. I want you to understand the situation that they were in. They were in stocks, and they were in chains, amen, and they were bound, and they were put in the innermost prison, and they were locked up way deep into the prison where there was no way of escape, and there was all prisoners around them in other prison cells, but all they did was pray and sing praises unto God. Paul didn't say, Silas, it was your fault, that's why we're in prison today. Silas didn't respond and say, Paul, no, it was you that did this and did that. You shouldn't have preached like you preached. You shouldn't have called upon the name of Jesus like you did. Now look what you've done. We're in prison today. But no. They agreed together that they're going to praise him. They agreed together that they're going to sing praises unto the Lord. And let me tell you today, I'm talking about Pentecost today. I'm talking about apostolic worship and praise. I'm talking about apostolic revival. The Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. Now, that's going to be really loud singing. That has to be lifting up of their voices unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. Doesn't the Bible speak about Pentecost being a noisy religion, if you will? A noisy church. It was born in noise on the day of Pentecost. Don't tell me that I'm making too much noise when I'm praising the Lord. Don't try and silence me when I want to praise him. I want to lift up my voice. I'm going to lift up my voice. Hallelujah. There should be no restrictions in the house of the Lord, because the Bible encourages us and said, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands. And that's what God loves. That's what he delights in. And Paul and Silas proved it to us, that if you will lift up your praises unto God, that if you will lift up your voice unto God and worship him, amen, without feeling restricted, unbuckle yourself in praise, unbuckle yourself in worship, and begin to praise him and worship him. When you get back in your motor vehicles as you leave the church to go home, then you can put your seatbelt back on. But you're in the house of the Lord now. Hallelujah. Oh, church, Pentecost makes the devil plenty cross. He don't like you when you praise him like you do. Sometimes we get really quiet for Pentecostals, I have to say. But that should be turned around. I'm not saying you got to be like me. I'm saying you got to praise God.
I'm saying you got to lift up your voice. I'm saying you got to worship God in the midst of your problems, issues, and trials. You got to do with joy. I want to tell you something today, that as Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, we don't know exactly what the length of time it was before the Bible says, and there was a great earthquake that shook the prison, and suddenly all the prison doors were open, and not just the prison door of Paul and of Silas, but the prison door of all the prison houses that were alongside them. Let me tell you what praise can do. Let me tell you what worship can do. Not only can praise and worship deliver you from your crises, deliver you from your situation, deliver you from illnesses and diseases, and heal you divinely. Not only can it do that, but it will affect those all around you. Every other prisoner, amen, that is around you, that is bound in affliction and bound in trial and bound in disease and need deliverance, your praise and your worship can be, amen, the instrument. It can be the tool, praise God, that will bring deliverance to them. Hallelujah. In the house of the Lord, people can receive the Holy Ghost in this house. People can receive and be repent in this house. People can receive divine healing in this house. But it comes in the midst of prayer. It comes in the midst of worship. It comes in the midst of praise. Amen. It's what we do and how we praise Him. We've got to pray and praise and pray and praise and pray and praise and keep on praying and keep on praise and see what God can do for you. Some of you think I'm crazy. And you're right. I am. But I've never been more crazy in all my life. Because I've always, ever since I begin to know Jesus, I come very crazy. I've become insanely crazy about Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says that everyone's bands were loosed. I'm going to rush along right now. I'm here to tell you today, the church, I'm here to tell Israel today that you can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And sometimes we feel like that because we have these problems and trials, we just can't praise the Lord. Can't do it. Heard a song. Some of you young people won't know the song. Some of you as old as me or maybe 10 years younger than me will know the song that Mary sang. And they say, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I know some of you know that, you laugh. I know. But that's not the goal. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it. Maybe you correct me after it. But that's not the goal. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I believe that God wants us to keep them on so we can praise them off and we can worship them off. We don't have to be hindered by shackles. Paul wasn't, Silas wasn't. They were in prison. Let me tell you, you can use anything to make music. Even chains can make music. Even shackles can make music. Clackety, clackety, clack. Clack, clack. We can make music. Don't tell me take the shackles off my feet. Who's going to take him off? Not the prison guards. Not my enemy. What am I going to do? I'm just going to praise him. Just going to worship him. With the chains of affliction. With the stocks of trials. I'm just going to praise him. Just going to worship him. Just going to glorify him. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm just going to worship him. I'm just going to praise him. It may be 2 days. It may be a week. It may be 2 weeks. But I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to make noise with those trials. I'm going to make noise with that affliction, with those stocks of affliction and those chains and the chains of trials. I'm still going to make a noise. I'm going to worship the Lord. And I'm going to sing. And I'm going to glorify God. Because there's coming a day. There's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, that suddenly something miraculous is going to take place. And God is going to break open the stone stocks. Chains are going to be broken. Hallelujah. We're going to break every chain in the name of Jesus. It's going to be gone. And suddenly you're going to be free. Your legs are going to be free. Your arms are going to be free. And you're going to be able to worship God. Amen. Like you worship him before you were in trial and before you were in affliction. Praise God. Joy is going to come to your house. Glory is going to visit you. You're going to see what God is going to do. You're going to have signs and wonders and miracles in the house of God. I believe that it is present in this place this morning. Somebody, if you would clap your hands, if you will shout, amen, if you would lift up your voice to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, amen, you can receive what God wants you to receive in this place today. I'm telling you today, you don't need to give up. You don't need to lay up, but you need to continue to praise him, and you need to worship him. Don't allow Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Babylon doesn't have to be remembered for its hang-ups. Because what they should have done was hang up their afflictions and bring down their harps and worship the Lord. But they did the opposite. And so they remembered Zion. They remembered Babylon for its hang-ups. But you can remember Babylon for the glory of God, for the praise. I remember when I was in trial, how I worshipped him. I remember while I was in affliction, how I praised him. For the glory of God, I need to remember Babylon, not for the opposite. Hallelujah. But let it rather be remembered as a place where God delivered you of your hang-ups because you chose to pull down your harps and to hang up your troubles and your trials. Ladies and gentlemen, today, to you this is a word of encouragement. Encouragement to praise him and to worship him. As individuals that come together in the house of God, to worship God together in one place with one mind, with one accord, with one objective. Because when you praise him, and because when you worship him, you're actually building a place of habitation for Jesus. And when you build this habitation of praise for him, he begins to make his way into it. He encompasses himself in it. He enrobes himself in your praise and in your worship. Does not the Bible say that he inhabits the praises of his people, of Israel? He inhabits the praises of the church. Your praise goes up into his nostrils, as the Bible said, as sweet incense before him. And he enjoys it. He loves it. Can you imagine this morning what God will do in a place like this where praise and worship is going up freely? Amen. Without any kind of inhibition. Without any kind of barrier. Without any kind of blockage, but freely going up from our hearts into his presence with praising and singing and glorifying the name of Jesus and worshiping him. Can you imagine what God will do in this place as a result of what you do in your praise and in your worship? Can I ask the musicians to come very quickly this morning? Will the musicians come as the people stand at this time? Can we stand? I believe in miracles today. I believe in miracles. I believe in apostolic signs and wonders. There are folks that walk into our churches all the time. People are coming in all the time.
for various reasons. They come in with their problems. They come in with heavy burdens. Likewise, the saints that are in the church at different times are going through different trials, problems that perhaps we are not aware of. We got to understand that this is not about being selfish. It's about others. It is for these reasons that when we come into the house of the Lord, that we need to give ourselves to praise. That we need to give ourselves to praise. It's up to me. It's up to me. I want you to touch your chest and say, it's up to me. Even those on the balcony there, say, it's up to me. It's up to me. I'm going to make a difference in this church. I'm going to make a difference in this house. Ladies and gentlemen, I predict today that if we just give ourselves to Him, just open up when we come to the house of the Lord. Just open up. Don't be concerned so much about the one that maybe you feel like is distracting you on this side or on the other side or behind you, in front of you. When I grew up in the church as a young man, I've always endeavored to use the front row like these young people the other day so that I didn't see what was going on in the rest of the building. Because I want to praise Him. I want to worship. I want the blessings of the Lord. I want the power of God to be manifest in the house. It's for these reasons, ladies and gentlemen, that when we come into the house of God, we need to give ourselves to praise. We need to give ourselves to worship. We need to be blinded to those that are around us. Hallelujah. Lest you find reason for hindrance in the house of the Lord. Right now I know that there's glory in this house. And if every person in this room will lift up your voice, every person in this room will lift up your hands and begin to worship Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and not to begin to think of the next part of the program or what I'm going to be doing after the service today, but to lift yourself up to His glory and to worship Him, to glorify Him, to magnify the holy name of Jesus.